Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello and welcome to Politics War Room with James Carville, and I'm Al Hunt. This week, our guest is California Congressman Ro Khanna, who is striking a national profile these days. Remember, we love taking your questions, so write to politicswarroom@gmail.com or send a tweet to @Politicon for next week's show. Now, we're going to get to as many as we can, but please don't forget to tell us where you're from. You can also get text updates about what's next for Politicon and Politics War Room by signing up at politicon.com. Tell your friends about us and remind them to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And please check out the links to our sponsors, Beam, Magic Spoon, and Delete Me in our show notes. We thank you for supporting them. It really helps make this podcast happen. Hey, James, you know, Trump loves to celebrate with superlatives, greatest economy the world's ever seen, greatest deals, cabinet puppets tell him he's the greatest ever. But, let's give him one. Let's really give him one. With no serious competition and only a matter of months, he is the most corrupt president in the history of America by so many fold, with Justice Department, Supreme Court as willing accomplices. The New York Times and other pieces about the Trump cryptocurrency scams make it clear. The family is getting rich while the small guys don't do so well. I don't understand cryptocurrency, James, but I do understand scams, and this is really a big one. Don Jr. and Eric, his two sons, whose business expertise prior to having the government behind them really was about failures and fraud. Now they're running around the world cutting deals about golf courses, hotels, condos. But, it's interesting. Where are they going? They're going to the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Serbia, Hungary. What do they have in common? They're places where the rule of law is transactional. Perfect people for the Trumps who have a contempt for any rule of law. Trump, with only 180 days ago, took the oath of office where he swore to uphold the Constitution, told Kristen Welker last weekend, "I'd have to ask my lawyers about upholding the Constitution." That was an honest answer, at least. If he asked Attorney General Pam Bondi, the response would be, "Sir, you're the greatest, whatever." James, it's awful, and he's getting away with it.
Okay, so I want to start with a moral question. I want to ask you, you grew up in the Episcopalian Church, I grew up in the Catholic Church, it's Pope Francis. It's a story from CNBC, okay? So it's a pretty legit story. 58 crypto wallets have made millions on Trump's meme coin. Is that how you say it? Meme coin.
Yeah, meme coin.
764,000 have lost money.
Right, the small guys.
Now, these are 764,000 people that lost buying the shit. Should we, as charitable people, feel sorry for them? Should we, as normal thinking person, say, "Well, you're that goddamn stupid, you don't need the money"? What's the moral answer for 764,000 people that gave this criminal their money and lost it?
I'm closer to the latter point of view, James. God damn it! I mean, if you don't know by now that Trump is a scam guy, that Trump is going to scam you, then there's no hope for you. So I got a certain amount of sympathy, empathy for people. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give it to them.
764,000 people. Was stupid enough to send him money. And what is it? 58 people made millions. Okay? I'm serious. Maybe there's some people who just don't need to be in a gene pool.
Right.
Maybe we ought to offer them free vasectomies or free birth control. You just don't have children. Okay? You can live out your life as you want to, but get out the goddamn gene pool.
I'm with you on that, James. And
Well, we resolved a great moral question today.
It is. It was a big one. You know, I tell you, I'm not surprised, but I am surprised that he is as blatant as he is, and I'm surprised that there is seemingly no price to pay. We have never seen corruption of this order.
So maybe they is. First of all, he started at 53. He's at 39. They're falling apart in Virginia as we speak. They're going to have hell getting the votes. You know this as well as I do. They got an awful something. Maybe for the first time, they're not getting away with it. And I had a good idea today. I was talking to a guy dropping names. I'm not going to use his name because they didn't ask me if I could, but you would have heard of him. He's a very prominent financial guy. He lives in London. And you know this because you've had experience with it. One of the things that we need to activate are these people that follow these diseases. You know, in your family, you had a challenge, okay? You raised $10 million. There's a diabetes community. There's a muscular dystrophy community. There's a dementia, Alzheimer community. These people should be mobilized, and we should talk about all of the things that they're cutting because all of them are very knowledgeable. You know, you and Judy faced this thing. You learned everything you could about what you were faced with. You raised money. There are tens of millions of people like y'all that are around the country, and we should do a real effort to activate and motivate these people for, like, citizen participation or something like that. I think it's a great untapped resource.
I couldn't agree more. And I all, on that vein, I want to say on June 14th, Trump is going to have a parade, which basically is in honor of his 79th birthday. That's why he's doing it. He's going to be the Grand Marshal. They're going to have the tanks and the soldiers. It's going to be like North Korea. I mean, it's just like that. At the same time, these grassroots groups are going to have well over, I think, a million people in every community, every sizable community, every state in the country protesting Trump. I love that split screen. I really love that split screen, and I think that's going to hurt him.
I do too, and I think that if the groups, and I understand they're gonna, if they can just keep their hands off of it and encourage it, have a place that people can go, the more organic, the better.
Exactly.
Right? The more people, and there's a lot of people that are just outraged out there, and I think that this is a good opportunity. I agree. This June the 14th, we should, what do they say, carpe diem? We should seize the moment.
Yep.
It's the moment he made for us. Let's
imagine the king sitting up there on the throne watching. I mean, if that doesn't have all of the elements of the worst kind of authoritarian dictatorial regime, I don't know what. I mean, it's Mussolini redone.
What can we fight over?
Yeah.
I'm tired of agreeing with you, man. God damn. So one of the points I want to make here on the show is I did this event with Alistair Kemp. And I think that the Trump presidency was brought to you by Democrats. Okay, we're 75% responsible. The Trump decline is all Trump's fault. But it's not, we didn't have much to do it. He did it all to himself. I'm sitting here in London. Brexit has killed the United Kingdom. Fuck, they're growing slower than anybody. They did it to themselves. They weren't invaded. It wasn't the Germans. Right. It wasn't the Russians. It wasn't the French. Okay? It's so much of what we're watching in the world today, and the disasters we see, are self-inflicted. And so we say, well, it's the press. Oh, well, but they have a whole right-wing infrastructure of podcasts. They have all this. Had we done this thing differently, we'd have won the fucking thing going away. And what this allows us to do is to put the blame somewhere else. Yes. Other than on ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. And James, I'm sorry, I'm just agreeing. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do. It's probably that pond in between us. But I hear all these guys, what is a Democrat's platform? What's a Democrat's agenda? How are they going to, God damn it, the platform now is we're going to fight, we're going to oppose, we're going to take on, we're going to, you know, offer alternatives for everything Trump is doing. It's not hard.
Tell me the agenda of the incumbent government in Canada.
Right.
Tell me the agenda of the incumbent government in Australia. You know what it was? we're not fucking Trump. And you know what they did? They came from 25 down to win.
And don't forget Australia.
That's what I'm saying, Australia. I thought
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. No, but
we have a language barrier when you're over in on the continent.
But they didn't have a platform. They just said, we're not Trump.
We're not Trump, right.
For 20 points.
All right, we'll be back with a lot of this in the ensuing weeks because it's a great story.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
James. We have struck it rich today. Our guest is Ro Khanna from the 17th District of California, who has been traveling the country talking about what the Democrats need to do to rehabilitate themselves and shadowing J.D. Vance. Congressman, it's good to have you on. You're one of our favorite guests. Alyssa Slotkin, becoming an influential voice in the party, says Democrats have to shed the image of being weak and woke. Focus on kitchen table economic issues, toughen defense, toughen the border, and by implication, do not stress or talk much about issues like trans rights, and deportation. Bernie Sanders and AOC have a more aggressive, go after the oligarchs approach. Where does Ro Khanna come down?
Well, I think we've got a pretty unified message coming in for 2026, and that is you've got the wealthiest person in the world who spends $250 million to put Donald Trump back in the White House. Donald Trump gives this person the keys, and he is gutting Medicaid. He is gutting public education. He is destroying the NIH, all the medical research that families have for Alzheimer's or for Parkinson's, totally getting rid of that. Why? So he can give more tax breaks to people, billionaires in my district. And that's offending the American people. That's why 1,000 people are turning out at town halls that I'm going to in red districts, not to see Ro Khanna. They don't know Ro Khanna. They don't care about Ro Khanna. They're coming out because they're upset. They're offended that this billionaire is taking away things that have been in America since FDR. Even Ronald Reagan didn't go after the New Deal. He went after Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society. They're going after the New Deal. And so what do we need to do? We need to organize around that. We need to say that they're totally destroying the American economy with these blanket tariffs. They're taking away people's health care and their education. And that's what's going to ride us into a majority in 2026.
Congressman, I think those are very good points, and those are very winning issues. But don't you also have to quit being so damn defensive on the border? Why can't, you know, shouldn't Democrats come out and say, we need a secure border? We are against illegal immigration, if we call it that, undocumented workers. And we, when it comes to deportation, we think the administration, everyone else, should follow the judges and the rule of law, but not try to defend it, not try to defend Joe Biden's indefensible border policies.
Sure. I mean, someone said to me people on the border should ask knock, knock, and you say, who's there? And he said, that's all the American people want to know. They want to know who's at the door. They want to make sure that before you come in, folks are vetted. I think that's a pretty reasonable request. We want a secure border. I agree that we shouldn't have had, 5 million, 8 million people who were undocumented just come in. But the point now, I heard Karl Rove on Fox News. He said Trump's numbers are going down on immigration because of this Abrego case. He said, well, I don't understand. Why not just bring Abrego back, give him a trial, and then if he's convicted, deport him. But you know, I was in rural Nebraska, 90% white community. I was out there as a decent politician talking about, well, the farmer cuts. They've cut $1 billion on farmer money, and farmers aren't going to be able to provide basic food to churches and to kids who need them. And, you know, they don't want to talk about that. You know what all the questions were about? Half the questions were about immigration. They said, we hate the fact that people aren't getting due process in this country. We hate the fact that they're violating the Constitution. You want to talk about taking patriotism back? How about that the first thing about patriotism is standing up for the Constitution of the United States of America? That's how Lincoln defined patriotism. And we are defining patriotism when we stand up for due process.
Well, you've made a compelling case that what Trump is doing in many cases is unconstitutional, showing contempt for the courts. But one reason he's able to do that without fear of accountability is the high court's decision last year to grant the president immunity for many official acts. So how much confidence do you have that this Supreme Court will stand up to Trump on two or three really important issues, impoundment, the Alien Enemies Act?
You know, I have a decent amount of confidence. I mean, that they will. I disagree with Justice Roberts on on a lot of things, but I was in his office once a few years ago, and, you know, to his credit, he actually started showing me pictures of the founding, and he had tears in his eye talking about that. I don't question his basic patriotism, and some of the things that Trump is doing is so fundamentally unconstitutional. I mean, I think of it. I told one of my conservative friends, I said, your argument on that the president gets to decide how much to spend and the Congress can only set a ceiling. Imagine if Barbara Lee became president and she said, I only want to spend $100 billion on defense. Are you going to say, okay, that's fine? Well, Congress is putting $1 trillion, but the Democratic liberal president can just spend whatever they want. I mean, it's an absurd argument, and I do think this court will reject it. The problem is that these court cases move so slowly. There's a lot of damage that can be done up till then. And the other thing is, look, the courts don't operate in vacuums in this country. Anyone who thinks that the courts don't read newspapers or look at poll numbers are naive. The judges look at all the politics. And so the more that citizens are engaged, the more Trump's numbers go down, the more we're speaking out, suddenly the more courage judges are going to find to be independent.
Boy, I hope you're right. Mark me down as a skeptic. You have made Vice President Vance a special target. You have shattered him. You went up to Yale Law School, where you're both graduates, and suggested he has contempt for the courts and the Constitution. It's not that I disagree with you, but he's a lackey. He just does whatever Trump tells him to do. Why focus on Vance?
He's trying to give some intellectual coherence to what Trump's doing. It's very hard to do, but he's trying his best. I mean, and that has to be taken on, head on. You know, He's not hiding the ball. Some people are saying, oh, with this Abrego case, we're trying to provide him. The Trump administration is trying to provide him a plane. They just can't get him back. Vance is not trying to do any of that dance. He's basically saying people like Abrego shouldn't have due process in America. He's out there saying that the due process standards for someone who's an immigrant should be less than those for a citizen. Well, that's a blatant misreading of the 14th Amendment, which says that every person has due process. He's out there saying universities are the enemy and attacking universities. He's the one who's saying to Donald Trump, just defy the courts. And Donald Trump's a lame duck. You know, Donald Trump, that's why he keeps putting out this third term stuff. He knows he's a lame duck. The future of Trumpism is going to be people like Vance. And we need to make sure that he is soundly, it's exposed as totally hollow.
James.
So, Congressman Massey, I think that you're a person that has trust across the party. I am not a moderate Democrat. I am a liberal Democrat, okay? If you think I'm a moderate Democrat,
I know that.
You're wrong. Okay. But I do have in what I would cut, because I don't like to just say the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, all right? So you have now, and my argument is maybe these people are not worth the trouble. Maybe they should just go their own way. And then we talked about this in Outrage. Ilhan Omar says that white males are responsible for more deaths than anybody in the country. I have no idea whether that's true. Why say that? Why are we trying to piss off one-third of the people that are going to vote? Forget I'm a white male. I'm running a campaign. I've got a strategy. I know that 70% of the people that are going to vote are going to be white. I know 48% of those are going to be male. So my rough non-Stanford back-of-the-envelope calculation is about a third of the electorate. When is somebody going to say, why don't you people just learn to shut up about this? You're not doing anybody any good.
Well, let me tell you about the white men I know in my life. I had a great baseball coach who I couldn't hit for anything. He'd insist that I went on and got my turn at the plate, even though they'd have to have me bunt every time. Then I had a 10th grade social studies teacher who came in dressed as Teddy Roosevelt and gave me a love of politics. Then I had a professor who was the one who encouraged me to go into politics. And you know what? I had a lot of white men who opened up a lot of doors. They gave me money to run for office, supported me. And a lot of the time I've spent in my 9 years in Congress have been in places like Johnstown, Pennsylvania, Lorain, Ohio, Downriver, Michigan, places that have been totally shafted, hollowed out, not because the economy was taken away from them. Material benefits were taken away. The pride was taken away. We used to have a country where we celebrated the working and middle class, that they were the folks who built the steel, who won us our freedom. And we've lost that. So I strongly disagree with Ilhan Omar too, in her just on a substantive level. I think that white Americans have done enormous things for our freedom. I mean, who were the people who scaled the cliffs of Normandy? Many of them were white men. And it does. It's not just I disagree politically. I disagree substantively. This is a great country. It is a kind country. It is a decent country. It is a country that has allowed an Indian American son of immigrants of Hindu faith to go represent the most economically prosperous place in the world. That would not be possible anywhere else. And the first thing that Democrats should start every speech with is America is the greatest country in the world. It's the most open country in the world. It's the least racist country in the world. And we want to make it better.
Tell that to the caucus, please. Okay? Tell the caucus there's no future in us running against white men. So one of the things you were talking about that I highly recommend is Congresswoman Perez, I think, to Washington State, the kind of
lady.
She did an interview with Ezra Klein, and that lady is deep. I mean, she's been very into our consumer mentality as opposed to our producer mentality. I can't say that I agree with her on everything. I'm going to read the article again, but that lady has some intellectual heft behind her. I mean, she's got this shit figured out, and it would be smart for anybody in the caucus to read that interview because there's a lot of good points that are making. I think there's a lot of points in that you would agree with.
I'm a big fan of her. I think she's the real deal. She actually comes from a working class background. She knows the importance of making things, building things. I totally agree with it. The one thing I do think this attack on consumerism that Donald Trump, I mean, for the guy who is a billionaire, who lives in gold-plated buildings to be lecturing America's kids that they can only have 3 or 4 toys. I got to tell you, when we used to have family visit, when I was growing up, and they would visit from India or other parts of the country, you know what they would love to do? They'd love to go to the grocery store. And they'd be so fascinated that we'd have like 50 cereal boxes in America. And it used to be the left that used to lecture people, oh, you can't have 50 cereal boxes, it's consumerism. Now it's Donald Trump lecturing them. Let me tell you, Americans want 50 cereal boxes. That's a great thing about America. We don't want to live in a place where you only get 3 dolls. And I think the Democratic Party could be the party of prosperity again and economic choice and letting consumers buy stuff. Look, Clinton in 92, and you ran that thing, ran far more populist, progressive than people realize. But I don't think there's a problem. And here's the one thing you guys had figured out. It's not just the economy, stupid. You had figured out that Democrats should not be afraid of saying that we are going to help make the country prosperous, that we understand the future, that we're going to make sure your family, your kids have economic prosperity in the future. They're out there offering 19th century solutions to this stuff. They're out there saying high tariffs is going to bring high-paying jobs in Johnstown. They're out there saying that every person, grandkid, kids, are all going to work in factories. Letnick's saying, no, I believe we should build modern factories, but I don't think that that's the only thing people want. They want to understand how that they're going to build wealth in a modern economy. And we need to take that back. There's a golden opportunity for Democrats to take back what we've lost since Bill Clinton, which is to actually win on economic growth and prosperity.
So I'm going to throw about it. I'll make one point. On every positive economic indicator you can think of, over any time frame you want, end of World War II, end of the Cold War, this century, Democratic presidents have, it's not even close. If you believe in historical analogies, if you believe in data, if you believe in empiricism, there's not an earthly reason that anyone that cares anything about economic prosperity would vote Republican. All of the evidence is against you. It's not close. GDP growth, income growth, stock market growth, you name it. Have somebody, you can do it yourself. You could probably do it in 5 minutes. If you just get the indicators, plug in any time frame that you want, and it's the crime. All right, stunning drop in crime we had in the 90s until when we banned assault weapons in 1994. You couldn't buy one until
having read a number of Ro Khanna's speeches, I think he's on to that too, James.
Okay.
I'm going to ask him just a couple quick questions before he has to go. Hakeem Jeffries, criticism of his leadership for not being aggressive enough. What do you say?
He's going to be speaker. He's got a lot of goodwill in the caucus. I think he can let it rip a little bit more. You know, come on, be himself. Is understandably cautious, but he's going to be speaker. He's got a lot of great will in the caucus. But I've said to him privately, and I think others have, you know, go be yourself. Go be out there. Go take a few punches. We'll have your back.
Called on the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to resign. You and others. Is he a danger to our national security?
He is. You know, I would support, I disagree with him on almost everything. I would support Tom Cotton to be defense secretary. I'd support Mike Rogers, chairman of the Armed Services, to be defense secretary. It's not a partisan issue. I just want someone there of competence. You've got someone who's bragging about leaking warplane plans to impress their wife, to impress their friends. You've got someone who's never run the greatest national security apparatus with the Department of Defense. I mean, it's shameful. And I give credit to Don Bacon. He's the only general, he's the highest ranking general in the Congress from Nebraska. And he's had the guts to speak out against what Hegseth's doing.
He's awful. Now he wants to eliminate a whole bunch of flag officers. Let me ask you a final question. We had Andy Beshear on this show 2 weeks ago. He's now
I'm a big
saying,
Andy Beshear fan. Big
we
Beshear
are too.
Fan.
He's now putting out the word that he's really considering running for president. That's what this show does, Ro Khanna. So when are you going to start launching your exploratory campaign for 2028?
You know, here's what I agree with James about, which is we've got incredible talent in the party. Beshear, Shapiro, Whitmer, Moore, Buttigieg. I mean, a lot of folks. And I don't want to say that someone I didn't mention. You know, you always get in trouble because you don't mention someone's name. But you got great talent, and I've got great friendships with these folks. And the task of the next American president is going to be so gargantuan that no one person is going to be able to do it. It's going to take a generation of people to do it. And so here's my view of it. I think folks should get their ideas out. We should have a clash of new ideas. It shouldn't be just kind of this coronation of anyone. Have a vigorous election. Right now, focus on the House, and then afterwards, whoever wants to run, and then we get a new generation. And our generation is going to stack up so much better than kind of the Vance, DeSantis, other generation, that our team is going to win. We could, you know, it's less important who plays quarterback. It's more important that we've got the team. And people will decide who should be the quarterback, who should be the receiver, who should be on the offensive line.
Ro Khanna could be one of those people, right?
Absolutely. I want to be part of the conversation and part of the leadership. And I'm no, you know, what I'm going to offer to the party is my view on economic patriotism, that you take the AI, the robotics, the technology from my district, the most prosperous district in the history of the world. And we build with the know-how of Pennsylvania, where I grew up, or Ohio. And we say, here's how you actually reindustrialize America. Here's how you actually bring economic prosperity to places that have been shafted. And we have a 21st century vision of giving people economic security and economic prosperity in this country. And if we win on the economy, and we win on healthcare, and we have patriotism, I think all the rest it falls by the wayside. We're going to win, and we're going to be a majority party.
James, I'm delighted because that is not a Sherman statement, and Ro Khanna would add a lot to this conversation. You've been a great guest, as always, Congressman. Thank you for joining us.
And I think I'll speak now. Whatever your future takes us, you're always welcome on this show to talk to us about it and tell us what you think. Love having
appreciate
you as a guest.
It.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, James, now for the outrage of the week. You know, it wasn't surprising to see Donald Trump with a tasteless AI shot of himself in the Pope's attire. I can think of no more dissimilar people than the late Pope, a man of great compassion, wisdom, and integrity, and Donald Trump. You know, you expected a Trump lackey like Lindsey Graham, a.k.a. Squiggly T. Biscuit, to see humor in Trump, whatever the master wants. I expected a little more from J.D. Vance, a converted Catholic who saw the Pope the day before His Holiness died. How naive, how ignorant of me. Vance, in response to Bill Kristol about this, tried to change the subject and accused Kristol of starting wars. But he said he's okay. Speaking of Trump, he's okay with a joke. Mocking the Pope, that's a great joke, J.D. Vance, who prays as a policy intellectual, has put his character in a blind trust for the next 4 years.
Well, let me talk about something I said. I want to reiterate it. Maybe we need a schism. And maybe we need a schism with the so far progressive left. I want to read something. Our country should be more fearful of white men because they're causing most of the deaths within this country. Ilhan Omar. Lady, why don't you just get out the Democratic Party? Honestly, start your own movement. All right, let's do the simple math. Probably 69%, I don't know, we could call Jim Gerson or Jeff Garrett. Roughly 69% of the people going to vote in November, maybe more. Let's do 70 for just round math, are going to be white. Of that, 48%, maybe a little more, are going to be male. So that's roughly, let's just call it 33 1/3% of the entire election. Well, let's just run against them because that's so goddamn smart. All right? So now we're going to have a campaign by the progressive left against white men who vote about 1/3 of everybody that votes in an election. Why don't you, lady, start your own party? And then when it's over, if you want to caucus with the Democrats, fine. We agree with a lot of things that you do. But we don't believe we ought to be running against white men. In fact, we don't think we ought to be running against any gender, any ethnic group, any race, any religion, or anything else. Goddamn, these people are just helpless. They cannot be helped. There's nothing you can do to help them. They don't want to be helped. And if they had any guts, they'd start their own goddamn political party and get out of ours. I'm sorry.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
James, our listener questions, boy, they're great. These people are so involved. Where do you get to the second one I'm going to ask you? I just love it. First one, though, is from Laura in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm curious why you're so critical of Bernie Sanders and AOC. They're Stop the Oligarchy Tour. Would you rather see Democrats doing to raise awareness, appeal to voters, and get them fired up for the elections?
Let me gladly answer your question. First, no one knows what an oligarch is. All right, we had a fat cat tour. The second thing is the image of the party is overwhelmingly that we're old and that we're urban. So I got a great idea. Let's take an 83-year-old and a person from Queens and run them around the country talking about oligarchs, which nobody knows what it means. And that's going to repair the image of a party that is thought to be too old and too urban. I mean, look, yeah, they draw in a crowd in Idaho. Great. But, you know, what I want to hear is not so much from the Bernie Sanders at AOC. I want to hear from people like, say, Governor Beshear, who we had on this show. I want to hear what they got to say. And I think that, and I think that people like that, and many other people.
Bashir's taking the first steps to run for president.
Right. In
product of our show, James.
Neither over 80, which we don't need.
Right.
But we don't need another, you know, urbanist candidate, to be frank with you, because that's what the party is. But, and we don't need to use words that no one else uses, like oligarch. Yeah. I've never heard of it. You've covered campaigns. You've been to diners in Iowa, and you've been to,
I wasn't even sure how to spell it, James. So
you've listened to 1,000 focus groups. I've never heard anybody use the word oligarch. I've heard
James
people say
Jackson and Jackson in Columbus, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Where is that?
Says, I don't know. We got to look it up. I know that state pretty well, but I don't know where Columbus is.
Okay, go ahead. I got Jamie here.
We'll find out. He said, isn't DOGE just an unapproved line item veto? Hey, Jackson, you know you're onto something. I mean, basically the Supreme Court, going back to the 1970s, said you can't impound, you can't take that kind of action. But this administration, with its arrogance and with an obsequious Supreme Court, is doing, some of these were congressionally appropriated funds. What the hell right does some billionaire nutbag have to come in and cut him? The answer is he doesn't, but we'll see if anyone will in the end stand up to him.
Doesn't the Constitution give the Congress the power to ballotate? I mean, isn't that a constitutional?
It is.
Authorized.
It starts with the House.
The Constitution?
Yeah. Well, Trump doesn't know if he has to, you know, adhere to the Constitution. So.
He doesn't even know what the Constitution is.
James, here it's coming. You ready?
All right.
I mean, I want you to be ready for this one. Right. This comes from Aidan Carville in County Monaghan, Ireland.
Oh, my God, a Carville from County Monaghan.
He said, James is distant cousin, and I hope he comes back to Mully Ash to see us again soon. And he's got a good question. Cousin Carville asks, given the rise of far-right politics across the globe and the failure of so many governments to understand or address it, what is the Democratic Party doing to understand the change in the political scene in the United States?
Well, Well, first of all, it's always good to hear from a Carville from Monaghan. And actually, we're calling all over the place in Ireland.
I thought you'd like that.
I think that, you know, and we're on this in the show. I think the best thing to do is to say America's always been split between two people. They're the people that are trying to make it and the people that already have it made. And the people that already have it made are never for the people that are trying to make it to make it. We should identify ourselves as a party of people that are trying to make it. And I think Trump is going to do, and I'm counting on this, I hope I'm right, pray I'm right, I could be wrong. I think he's going to do more at the end of the day to damage this whole right-wing ethno-nationalism than anybody we could possibly do. I think the damage that's being done to that is being done to him. And I don't think people are finding this particularly attractive, and I think they're going to find it less and less attractive as they go on.
Okay, good answer. But James, when are you going back to Mully Ash?
To Monaghan, County Monaghan. I'm here with my Irish nephew here, the great Jamie Long. And we'll probably go back in September. We like to go in September. That's a good time.
And expect it. You know, there's another Carville arriving to join all those other Carvilles in County Monaghan.
You can't get enough of us here. We're everywhere.
Bliss in Appleton, Wisconsin, the hometown of the infamous Joe McCarthy, says, can the Democrats coalesce around the theme of moral clarity? No. It's the fundamental question of moral clarity, because this is an administration that has none. But, you know, for that welder out there in Oakland County, Michigan, you're not going to say this election is about moral clarity. This election is about the kitchen table. This election is about inflation. This election is about jobs. This election is about things that are less esoteric, as important as moral clarity is, Bliss.
Okay, we just found out that Columbus, North Carolina, is like Charlotte. It's a little bit kind of southeast part of the state.
Okay. Is it? Okay, good.
It looked like
all right, Jackson.
Oh, there you
go. We found out where you're from.
Moral clarity is, it is immoral, and in my view, and we should say this, for people that have a lot of money to try to protect themselves and, you know, screw over people that are trying to make it, like students, you know, working people, dental hygienists, firemen, you name it, you know, lance corporals, business people, welders. And the real morality is to give these people a country that they have an opportunity to prosper and provide things for them. And if we get that much morality in politics, we'll be way ahead of everything else. I think that's the ultimate moral question when it comes to
it. It is. This is another one, James. This is your day. This is from Joe in Dundalk County, Louth. I think that's right, Ireland. I mean, boy, the Irish are coming. They're coming for you, James.
Where is it, Jamie?
Dundalk is loud. It's just above Dublin.
It's above Dublin? It's between Dublin and Monaghan?
It's between Dublin and
Okay, between Dublin and Northern Ireland. Okay.
But so Joe's bringing it home for you, James. Joe is asking, why do all the high-profile ICE disappearance seem to end up in Louisiana jails and facilities? What is special about Louisiana, James?
Well, we're number 50. The new U.S. News Places Rated Almanac came out, and we were panicked because we were 49 before, but West Virginia and Mississippi can be thankful Louisiana's assumed its rightful place. Also, I think this is right. The state of Louisiana has the highest incarceration rate of any sovereign in the world. Okay, in any state, in any country. So it's one thing we do. We might be 50th in lifestyle, but goddamn it, we do prisons.
Well, you sure do.
We do prisons better than anybody. You can.
And they are inhuman, and they get courts, throw them out, and they
very
just come
tragic
back.
Thing. But when Trump says he wants to open Alcatraz, there's one thing I know we have enough in this country of, and that's prisons.
God.
We need opportunity, not jails.
I can see him. I thought he'd want to open Alcatraz for condos rather than for a prison. But
maybe he'll build a bridge in the middle of San Francisco Bay.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Politics War Room with James Carville, and I'm Al Hunt. As always, send your questions for us by email to politicswarroom@gmail.com or tweet them for next week's show at Politicon. Following this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you check out the links to our sponsors, Beam, Magic Spoon, and Delete Me, and our episode show notes. We deeply thank you for supporting them. We really do, because when you do, it helps make this podcast happen. Now, to keep up with us, subscribe to Politics War Room on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And check out our Substack at politicswarroom.com. James and I are constantly adding new content, so go take a look. You can also find other shows you might enjoy in the Politicon YouTube channel or when you search Politicon on your favorite podcast sites. Remember, please rate the show with a 5-star review. We'll be back next week with another show as we continue our War Room planning.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.